be here with you all. What a great church. Great church people, beautiful facilities. We just couldn't believe when we got here to see the church, and I got the grand tour and just to see what God has done here. But the church isn't the building, the church is the people, and it has just been a privilege to get to meet you and to get to know you. And God is doing great things at this church, and I believe God is just going to continue to do great things. But this has just been a breath of fresh air for my family and I. I'm a youth pastor. I'm a full-time youth pastor. Praise the Lord. In February, my church took me on full-time after 4.5 years, or a little over 4 years of having to work a full-time job on the side. We are full-time now, youth pastor and wife, and I love it. The ministry is great. Don't listen to what everyone else is telling you. The ministry is awesome. I love it. Serving God is the greatest thing you can do with your life. Teenagers, serving God, there's nothing better. I never in the world imagined myself here in another state, halfway across the country from where I live, preaching the gospel. I thought there was no way, and I'm having the time of my life. I love it. This is great. The ministry is great. We love it. This is great church. I ask that you keep our church, keep our family in prayer as we travel back this week. But pray for Mountain View Baptist Church. Pastor Chad Correa, great man of God. He'd like to come up and visit sometime, so hopefully we can get him up here to visit you all. Great things going on at our church. We just started last week 2 services on Sunday morning. We have a small auditorium, and we pack it out. And we are doing 2 services. And Lord willing, pray for us. We're hoping to break ground on a new auditorium sometime this year. Double the size of our current auditorium. God is doing great things. People saved every week. Full buses. There's not an inch of free space on a Sunday morning in that church. I mean, we have every single nook and cranny from every kind of classrooms, using the buses to teach classrooms or whatever we need to do. But we appreciate your prayers. Prayers also for our youth group. Our youth group is growing, but We've had over 80 different teenagers, or almost 90 since the beginning of the year, but we average about 20 to 30 on a given night. And I ask you to just keep them in prayer. We have a great bus ministry and hoping to see some of these bus kids just get on fire for God. We have a young man that when I came to church, Brother Donald, I believe, was the one that met him, brought him to Mountain View. He was a brat. I mean, he was that one that you just drove you crazy. And he was always goofing around, always giving you that look. I mean, he was just the one that was always driving you crazy. And God got a hold of his heart. About 6 months after we came to the church, he got saved. He got baptized. He surrendered his life to ministry, felt God was calling him to preach, and he just finished up his freshman year at Bible college. And I'm telling you, that is what it is all about, just to see that. A man come from the bus ministry, mom not saved, no one in his family. I mean, comes from a rough background, preparing to serve God. And that is what it is all about, and we're praying God will continue to do that with our ministry. There are some things that just boggle my mind. I'm not that smart, so a lot of things boggle my mind more than probably should. But there's some things that I can't understand. I don't get it. Some things like death. I know it's not a great topic to start on, but think about death, and it's a scary thing. I know when you're a Christian, we have heaven to look forward to, but it was a privilege, but I had the opportunity to preach at my grandmother's funeral a couple years ago. And that was a tough thing. To think about death. Death just boggles my mind to think about it. To see, if you're able to see they call it a wake in New England, but if you're able to see the viewing, the casket of a lifeless person laying there, knowing that their soul is somewhere else. Death just boggles my mind. And you know what else boggles my mind is life. I'm a proud father of 2 young boys, and to be in the hospital room and to witness the birth of a child, whew, there is not much better than that. I'm telling you, I mean, to witness life. My son Jonah, I mean, as soon as his head came out, he was screaming, "Get me out of here!" That young man, and just to hold him, I remember the first time the nurse put them in my arms, and to look at him, to look in his eyes, and he looked right back at me. Could have sworn he said, "Daddy." I don't know. I don't think that's possible. But just to witness life, it's incredible. It is awesome. Something else that always just I can't wrap my mind around God's love. I can't. I mean, the more I get to know God, the more I realize that, like the Bible says in 1 John, God doesn't love, He is love. Hearing His love, that God is love. I can't understand that kind of love. We can't have the kind of love that God has. All the times I've failed Him, all the times I've messed up, all the times that I've fallen short, and He still loves me. I just, that doesn't make any sense to me. Because our love isn't like that. Our love sometimes leaves and comes and goes and is dependent upon circumstances. God's love is that agape love that is unconditional. And I just can't understand it. I don't really understand God's will. God's will is such an incredible thing. And even talking to my wife, this summer will be 5 years that we've been married. Can't believe 5 years already. It's been great. Marriage is great. But looking back, I didn't just somehow end up with a certain person. I met the one person in the world that God had for me. The one person. And I'm sure those of you that have been married longer can tell you that that person was made for you. And that was all part of God's plan, and all the different roads and courses and obstacles that had to happen for us to meet. Honestly, it's incredible, and it's only God. But God's will always boggles my mind. Creation. If you're able to do some traveling and see the world and see mountains and oceans and valleys and witness just creation. Or I had a class in college. I was able to take astronomy. Not astrology, Brother Rich, astronomy. And we were able to really explore space. I actually had we had a class in the planetarium, and I worked grounds early in the morning, so I was always tired. And I remember one afternoon in class, I fell asleep during class. And I woke up, we were in the planetarium, and it had a simulator like we were on the moon. About the lower half all around you looked like you were standing on the moon and you could see the earth. And I remember waking up not knowing where in the universe I was. And I had to come back to myself. But I remember that class just learning about the universe. You look out and you see one little speck and you think, oh, that's a pretty star. Oh, no, that's not a star. That's a galaxy full of thousands or millions of stars. That's incredible. Can you understand that? I mean, that is incredible. That just boggles my mind. We like to think that we are so big. If you've ever been up in an airplane and you look down and you see civilization, the little cars and little houses and little trees, it looks like a painting or a little kid's play toy. I just can't imagine that. And the last thing that I just can't really grasp is time. Time, just how it moves. How it moves so quickly. And I really can't understand time, and I try to think about it, but it's constantly going. I'd like you to ask yourself a question. Where were you last year at this time? Where we are today, it was May 20th. Where were you May 20th of last year? How was your life? How were you doing? Just kind of do a self-examination. What brings you from one place to another in life? It is the direction that you're heading. The road that you are on will bring you where you need to go. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7 tonight, please. Matthew chapter 7, and we'll read verse 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, the Bible says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." We're taught here that there's two directions. There's two roads that you can be on. I'd like to talk about that tonight. Which road are you on? Father, thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for this great church, Lord, this incredible opportunity. Lord, thank you for their hospitality and just their kindness towards me and my family, Lord. It's been such a privilege to be here. Father, I pray tonight that you would just speak to us. Lord, I pray you would take away distractions. Help us not to think about other things, what we're doing later on or other events or what this week has. But Lord, I pray that we will turn our eyes upon you tonight, Father. I pray you will speak to every heart. Lord, I pray that you will just give us Holy Spirit's power tonight, Lord. And I pray you will go through every heart. Lord, convict hearts and change hearts. And if there's someone here that's not saved, help them to get that taken care of. But Lord, if there's a Christian tonight that you speak to, Lord, I pray they won't leave this room without getting right with you, Father. Please do that tonight. Lord, help me to get out of your way. Lord, hide me behind your cross. We need your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible gives us many different principles that kind of apply to this. The first principle is you reap what you sow. Great biblical principle. If I give you pumpkin seeds, you're not going to get tomatoes. Won't happen. If I give you apple seeds, you're not going to get a cherry tree. You're going to reap what you sow. And in life, the things that we're sowing, we will reap that someday. And when we're sowing bad things, there are certain things that will come later because of that. And what we need to realize is that we need to start sowing the right kind of seeds in our life. Think about the kind of fruit that you're bringing forth. We need to bring forth fruit. Another analogy given in the scriptures is pressing towards the mark. My preacher gave a great sermon a couple of weeks ago on on raising children, and I believe the verse, was that in Proverbs, about the arrows, young children are as arrows, and he gave a great illustration on hitting that mark. But I think even in our lives, we're told to press toward the mark. We have a certain mark that we're heading towards. In which direction are you heading? Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Jeremiah 6:16 says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls, but they said, we will not walk therein. Let me tell you something tonight, church. There's only one way to heaven. And there aren't different ways. There aren't several different roads that you can take. There is one highway. There is one road to heaven. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We're taught here in Matthew chapter 7 where we read about the way of a Christian and the straight gate and the narrow gate. There is a way to heaven and a way to hell. I'm not talking about that necessarily tonight, but you need to make sure you're on the right road. There's a road to heaven, there's a road to hell. Praise God, once you're on the road to heaven, it is a one-way road. There's no exit. You can't turn around. Once you're saved, you're always saved. God holds you in his hand. There's no turning around. Praise God for that. But there's another road that you're on that will lead you into destruction. But I'd like to talk to you about the road of a Christian. That's the road of eternity. But there is a road of a Christian, many different roads that you can take. And when we read here, we read about the narrow, the straight gate, and we read about how that gate is wide, it's broad, and it leads to destruction, and many go that way. But to the straight gate, the narrow gate, leadeth unto life, few there be that find it. I had the opportunity of going skiing with one of my good friends in Massachusetts. We have some great skiing resorts up in Vermont, New Hampshire. And I was able to go, I think the second or third time I've ever been. But when I went was years ago. So this was basically my first time skiing. And he was my ski instructor. He did a great job teaching me how to ski. And we had a beautiful night. We were skiing. The ski slopes were lit. So there were lights that we were skiing to. It was nice powdery snow. And I remember him trying to teach me different things, the snow plow, if you've ever skied. And I remember him yelling, snow plow, snow plow. I remember yelling back, I can't, just flying down the slopes. But he was a great teacher. We were skiing at night and only certain pathways were illuminated for us to be able to see. So we were skiing down different sides of the mountain. And we would want to go down a certain hill, but that would be closed off. So we had to turn and ski a different direction. And I remember we kept going this way, and I knew that wasn't good. And we came up to a dead end, and there was this huge hill right in front of us. And my friend said, do you want the good news or the bad news? He said, the good news is, and Rachel was pregnant with Jude, and she was down in the lodge looking up. He said, your wife will be able to, or your baby will be able to say what he witnessed today. But he said, the bad news is the only way for us to get down this mountain is to go down a black diamond, which is the steepest hill they have at a ski resort. And I am a rookie skier. I mean, I do not have the talent. You should have seen me falling all over the place. That was the only way down. Well, I thought in my mind, it was a nice wide, it was a wide way, but it was very, very steep. I thought, you know what I'll do? I'll go straight across to the other side. And as I ski, I'm going to try to go straight across to the other side, and then I'll slowly do that the whole way down the mountain. Well, I got about probably 5 or 10 feet, and realized that it was so steep, that is not possible. I would have fallen over. I had to start going down the mountain. And as I was going down the mountain, I started picking up more speed, and I ended up eventually just going straight down like a bullet. Went down the mountain, and I didn't hit anybody, and didn't die, obviously. But I remember thinking that I was just going to go straight across. But I realized, you really, in the mountain, you're either going down or you're going up. There's no real middle ground. You can't go that direction. Another analogy, I was with a man from our church, lives on a lake, and he just invited me over a couple weeks ago to go kayaking. And we went kayaking in a heavy current. If you're kayaking in a heavy current, you need to really work hard to move forward. And I realized you can't stand still. There's no standing still in those waters. When you're kayaking in a heavy current, you're either going forward or you're going backward. And there was no middle ground. There was no staying stagnant. I worked really hard to move forward, or if I stopped, I was moving backward. Friend, I want you to realize as a Christian, you're either going forward or you're going backward. We try to think that there's this little place that we can stay in the middle, maybe this lukewarm place, but we're told in Revelation how much the Lord hates that. You're either going forward for God or you're going back for God. And there's no real middle ground. Whatever direction you're going, this way of the righteous, Genesis 24:27 says, "And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." The Lord will lead you. Psalm 1:6 says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Proverbs 15:19 says, "The way of the slothful man is as a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain." So there's a righteous way, there's a way that's going up, there's a way that's going towards God, there's that narrow gate that we're talking, that the scripture talks about here in Matthew chapter 7, but the other way is the opposite. The other way is the broad gate. Turn to James chapter 1, please. The other direction, there's the way of the righteous, and then there's the other road, the road of the world, the road of sin. A great illustration to illustrate this before we get into the scriptures. If you've ever been in a swimming pool that has a deep end, it doesn't just have a shallow end and a deep end. Could you imagine if it was like that, where it was a shallow end and then just went to the deep end? But there's this plane in the middle. And if you get too close, and if you're standing, you can start sliding down and getting to the point where you're below the water. And the road of sin is that way. See, sometimes in issues in our lives, we try to take the middle. You know, here's right, here's wrong, and so I'm just going to stay right here. But I want you to realize that that is sloped, and it gets a little bit worse, gets a little bit worse, gets a little bit worse, and all of a sudden you're in the deep end, and you're like, wait a minute, I just started in the shallow end. I was doing okay. My head was above the water. You're not really in the deep end yet, but it's slowly getting worse. And that is exactly how it is in our lives. It's a slow fade. You don't find someone that has never touched alcohol the next day just a drunkard on the streets and living in bars. No, it starts with one drink. Oh, I'll just have one. It's okay. Just at dinner, we'll just have one little glass of wine. It's not that bad. Yes, it is. It's on that slow fade. It will lead you to drunkenness. Oh, how about swearing? That word's not that bad. I hear it all the time, preacher. Oh, that's not really a swear word. It starts there. And then you say this word. And then you say this word. And then there aren't any words that you don't say. I mean, so many. How about music? Oh, how about this music? I mean, this music's right. This music's wrong. But this right here, well, it's kind of, I mean, you know, I don't listen to the words, or I do listen to the words, not the music. I've heard both ends of that argument, you know. I listen to the words, I don't listen to the words, whatever. We take this place, and it always gets worse. You're always listening. It starts here, and then you listen to this, and then you listen to this, and then you're down here listening to music that is ridiculous, that a Christian ought never to listen to, and you wonder how in the world did it happen, because you started here, and you went to the middle ground, and you didn't stay in the shallow ground where you're supposed to be. Things that we might think are simple sins are things that lead to other things. How drinking leads to drunkenness. Lust leads to adultery. Hate, unforgiveness, jealousy, these things can lead to bitterness. Arguing, pride, selfishness can lead to broken friendships, broken relationships. A simple bad attitude or disrespect can lead to rebellion. And the Bible says the rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. That's pretty bad in God's book. The point is that all these things lead to something. I don't even really know what I was supposed to read in James chapter 1, so we're not going to read that. I'll have you turn elsewhere in just a minute. But if you want to stay on the right road, God has given us a couple things. And I'd like to give those to you tonight. To stay on the right road, here are some things that God has given us. Psalm 119, please. The book of Psalm 119. Psalm 119:105. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God has given us, number one, He's given us the Bible. And I'll compare this to staying on the right road to getting lost. I don't know if you've ever been lost. I'm sure you have. I'm sure there were no men in this church have ever been lost, preacher. They've never been somewhere where they didn't know where they were going. We always know where we're going. But if you're lost, if you're on the wrong road, here's some ways to find the right road. Number one, get a map. I have Randy, I call it, Rand McNally, that we use. And I know there's other devices and things that people use, but I love a good old-fashioned map. I like looking at a map and looking at the roads, and this one's a little bit small, but you can see the different roads in the different cities. You know, the big cities are focused in, zoomed in on other pages, so you can look at those. But if you're lost, you need a map. It's that simple. If you don't know where you are, you need a map. And a map will tell you where you are, it'll tell you where you need to go, and it'll tell you how to get there. And you can look and see where you are. Friends, our Bible is the same way. The Bible is our map. The Bible is our roadway. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, it is a light unto my path. God's word will show you where to go. It'll show you how to get to where you need to go. It'll show you where you are. It'll show you that we're sinners. It will show you how wicked you are. I love the verse. I don't have the reference, but the Bible says, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That tells me what I am. I know what my flesh is, but it tells me where I need to be. It says, be holy, for I am holy, and be not drunken, but be filled with the Spirit. Many verses. The Bible tells us where we need to be. The Bible is our map. How in the world are we going to find our way to where we need to go unless we use a map? So number one, if you're lost, use God's word. Use a map. Number two, let's turn to John chapter 16, please. John chapter 16, quickly. Number two, if you're lost, God has given you something else to help you find the right way and get on the right path. John chapter 16, verse 13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. So number one, if you're lost, use a map. Number two, if you're lost, use a GPS. I was a big, I was heavily against GPSs for a long time. I'd have nothing but trouble with them. The whole, you know, you turn the wrong way and then it gets mad at you and recalculating. And that just drives me crazy. And it seems like, especially in big cities, it never knows where you are and tells you to turn when you're going past the exit. And it has been a blessing, though. Our family gave it to us and it has helped us. This has helped us. We've taken several trips and we've been able to find our destinations and know our estimated time of arrival. And it helps us in so many ways, but it literally will guide us. It'll tell you, turn this way. It'll tell you, turn left. It'll tell you to do a U-turn, which is always great. I never get that. It'll tell you where you're going. It'll tell you, this one has a map that it'll show you which lane to be in. If there's a highway with different, a different highway intersecting it, it'll tell you which lane you need to be in to be where you need to go. And if you're lost, this is a great thing to have with you, to have a GPS, because the GPS will eventually get you to where you need to go, because it's constantly guiding you. It's with you. If you have a GPS in your car, it's going to know where you are, and it will bring you to where you need to go. God has given us the Holy Spirit. It says here in John chapter 16, verse 13, in the middle there, that says he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit, I believe, is one of the most ignored things in the Christian life. We don't listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's trying to tell you to do something, and he's trying to give you direction, and we ignore him. We quench the Holy Spirit so often. I've given this illustration many times at my church, but as I was in college, I was home for the Christmas break, and I had this idea that I should intern with my pastor and just spend some time with him and get to know him and see the ministry from his perspective. And I spoke of that to my father. And I just thought about it, and I tossed around the idea, and then I really just kind of forgot about it. And my dad came to me I don't know if it was the next day or when, and he said, you need to go talk to pastor. I said, okay. He said, and you need to do that internship you spoke of. I said, okay. And he said, you know why? He said, because that's God that told you to do that. He said, do you really think the devil was telling you to do that? Do you really think that that was your flesh saying, I should go and I should intern with my pastor? No, he said, that was the Holy Spirit. That was God. And preacher, that just kind of, that day, I remember thinking about that. The thoughts that come in your mind like that, those are God. Hey, when you wake up in the morning, and maybe I'm the only person that this happens to, I don't believe so, but the first thing that happens when I wake up in the morning, I get this little light bulb that goes on my head and says, you need to read your Bible. Does that happen to anybody else? Amen? You get this, you know what? That wasn't the devil. Amen? That wasn't the devil. Do you really think the devil wants you reading your Bible? No way! The thought of, I'm really tired, I need to hit snooze about 18 more times, that's the devil. Do you really think that was your flesh? No way. Do you think that was the world? No way. That was the Holy Spirit of God prompting you to do something. Have you ever had a thought, you know, I should probably tell that person about Christ? Have you had that thought? Amen? You should tell that person about Christ. You should hand them a gospel tract. You should, that person at McDonald's, Burger King, that neighbor, that coworker, that family member, you should tell them about Christ. Do you think that was the devil? Do you think the devil wants them saved? No! Satan doesn't want them saved. He's walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's God. That's the Holy Spirit. And we're so used to denying him and quenching him that I know oftentimes we don't know one voice from another. And we need to learn in our lives how to listen for the Holy Spirit. If you hear thoughts like that, thoughts like reading your Bible and praying and telling people about Christ and, hey, thoughts about going to church, do you think the devil wants you in God's house? No way. Do you think the devil, the world, and your flesh want you serving God? No. But when you get these thoughts and you get these promptings, you need to learn to follow them. Because if not, we can quench the Holy Spirit. When you're really thirsty and you know what it's like and your mouth is all parched and your lips are sticking together and you know your tongue is sticking to everything and you know what it's like to be parched and then you have a drink of something, that's God. And that's the same illustration that the Bible uses to what we can do to the Holy Spirit. He's telling you to do something and then you keep saying no. And it's gone. Now he doesn't leave from us, but that prompting goes away. And we need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit's guiding in our life. He's guiding you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. The Bible says that I didn't make it up. This isn't my thing. John 16:13 says he will guide you into all truth. We need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit follow you. Let the Holy Spirit, don't let him follow you. You follow him, but let him guide you. I love the what happened in the Old Testament with a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. When God literally moved in front of the people and showed them where to go. That is what the Holy Spirit is doing. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you and guide you, but do you let him? Number three, turn to Proverbs chapter 11, please. Proverbs chapter 11. Number one, if you're lost, you need to use a map. Use God's word. Number two, if you're lost, you need a GPS. The Holy Spirit. Number three, if you're lost, Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 14. The Bible says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Number three, if you're lost, and I know you're not going to like this, man, I'm sorry, but if you're lost, ask for directions. It's the simplest thing to do. I know it's humbling. I know it's difficult. I know it's not fun to do. I know when you walk into that gas station and you say, I can't find this place. Can you please tell me? And they laugh because it's right behind you and you've been staring at it the past 10 minutes. It's not fun. But we need to ask for directions. You know, you might get lost. You might find yourself on a different road than the road you need to be on. Get directions. Teenagers, look up here. I can't give you more advice to tell you that get godly counsel in your life. Godly counsel in the multitude of counselors. There's safety. Get some people, some influences that you look up to, and ask them for their advice. Several of them, not just one person, but as many people, a multitude of counselors. There are so many great people in this church, so many people that have been saved for years and have learned so much about their relationship with God. Let them impart some of that wisdom upon you. That is the whole ironing, sharpening iron illustration in the Bible. I'm sure that some of you have learned a lot over the years. You've learned about choices and decisions. And I think one of the greatest attacks I see in my teenagers in my church is to not listen to the right advice and just do what you want to do. Hey, I know that this road will lead to me being out of church and lead to me going to parties and lead to me drinking and lead to me getting pregnant out of wedlock and leading me to end up in a jail somewhere. But I don't care where that direction's going. I'm going to go where I want to go. That's the mindset that so many teenagers, but so many people have. People are going to tell you. I have a funny illustration. I was leaving my job once in Pennsylvania, and there were some guys on the side of the road, and they looked like troublemakers, you know, just how people look. And they were yelling at me, you know, ah, ah, ah. I don't remember what they said. And I think I remember I rolled down my window, and I think I yelled, you too. That's all I yelled. I don't remember why. I don't remember what I said. I just yelled something back at them, you know, oh, stupid people. Why are they yelling at me? And then a couple minutes later, I realized I was driving with my lights off. And they were just telling me to turn my lights on. They weren't yelling at me. They weren't making fun of me. They were just telling me to turn my lights on. I wasn't listening to their advice. I wasn't listening to what they told me. There were people that will be in your life that are going to try to give you advice, to try to give you wisdom. Listen to that. There is so much in finding wisdom, getting godly counsel. I wouldn't have married the wife that I married if I didn't get good counsel. And my parents and my wife's parents gave us great counsel. And I remember the first time my dad met my wife, we were just friends and just dating in college. And he said, "I think you'll marry her someday." I said, "All right, slow down, Dad, but okay, that's great." My wife, I haven't told you this story. The first time I went to visit her, she was from South Dakota. And I flew out to visit her family. And after that visit, I was there about a week, I think. Her dad sat me down and proposed to me. He said, "So when are you planning on, are you planning on marrying my daughter?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd like to someday." And he said, "Well, I think you should do that soon." That's great. That doesn't happen too often. But honestly, the fact that her parents and my parents were 100% behind it was a huge factor in me marrying her. Because I wouldn't have done it without their advice, without their counsel. And I remember getting good. We actually were at college. We actually were able to go to a marriage counseling with Pastor Tharp. And he did our marriage counseling and learned some great things from him. And so many people that imparted wisdom to us and things. There's so much to learn from that. Learn how to ask for directions. When you're lost, "Hey, I'm having a hard time, you know, reading my Bible. I'm really struggling with something." Ask for directions. God has given you so many great influences in your life. He's given you a man of God that spends time with God and gets in His Word and knows Him and will do his best to pray for you and give you godly counsel. Teens, you have a great youth pastor and youth pastor's wife that God has given you. Learn how to go to them for counsel and learn how to go to other people and some of the deacons and elders and those that are experienced. Go to these people for counsel in your lives. If you're lost, ask for directions. And then lastly this morning, I won't have you turn anywhere. But number one, if you're lost, use a map. That's the Bible. Number two, if you're lost, you're on the wrong road, use the Holy Spirit. Get a GPS. Number three, ask for directions. And number four, this is a tough one. Number four, if you're going the wrong way, I guess this was the way I pointed to is the wrong way. If you're going the wrong way, turn around. Turn around. Sometimes if you know you're on the wrong road and you're heading down that road to destruction, you see where it's going. You see your friends, the people that used to be close to you. You see where they ended up. You see what kind of life they're living and how the devil has just ruined all their future and all the hopes that they had. And you realize that's the road that you're on. Turn around. Go the other way. Go towards God. We preached this morning on Moses when he had to turn aside and see that great sight. In our lives, we need to turn away if we're going the wrong direction. The Bible speaks a lot of the word repentance. When we get all lost in the word, you know what it means? A change of direction. It just means a change of direction. I'm going this way. I'm going this way now. It's that simple. You know, we can be going this way and we can say sorry 100 times, but still go this way. We can, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do this, God, I messed up." And you're not changing. You haven't repented. You're still planning on going this direction. Repentance is a true change of direction. I used to do this, now I do this. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The music I used to listen to, the friends I used to hang out with, the hair I used to wear, all those things, I don't do that anymore. I live differently now. A young man at my church that just got saved, a great, great couple. God is going to use them mightily. His name is Walter. Told me his testimony, and wow, preacher, to hear the things. He's about my age in his mid to late 20s, has 2 children. His life was just about ended from some of his mistakes that he made. And he got saved and got rid of everything. He told me after he got saved, he went home and went into his closet, and he said he probably had $150 to $200 of alcohol. And he thought, "Man, I wish I could just drink that or sell it." And he said, "No." And he took each bottle and emptied it out and threw them away. Praise God. There's going to be a point in your life where you have to turn. You got to turn because you're going to get so far down the wrong path. You need to just turn around. Because it gets worse. It's like that illustration with the swimming pool where it goes further and further and further down. And all of a sudden you're going to start having all these problems and more difficult things and more struggles. And the consequences get worse and worse and worse. Turn around. Go back the other way. Go towards that straight and narrow way. It's a simple sermon tonight. There's different directions you can head. You're on the way to heaven, on the way to hell. But then once you're saved as a Christian, there's the right way, that narrow gate it speaks about. And then there's the wide gate. Many go that way. The wide gate is where most people are traveling. The place of worldliness, of letting your flesh just have its way. Place of fun and parties and all these things. Few people are going this way. It's sad. And if you're on the wrong road, get a map, start getting in the Bible. If you're going on the wrong road, get a GPS, start letting the Holy Spirit guide you. He'll tell you. He'll tell you right away. If something's wrong, the Holy Spirit will tell you right away. Hey, don't do that. Look at this. Try this. Do you want to look at this? No way. Holy Spirit says, no, no, no. You can see the lights going. You can see the lights and you can hear the sirens. No. Listen to the Holy Spirit guide you. Ask for directions. Get good counsel. And turn around. Let's have every head but every eye.